And we are live, episode 30.
We are actually not live. This is pre-recorded. However, we are in a recording environment with each other.
We are in a recording environment. We are recording this live right now in time.
This is true. In space and time, we exist and we are recording. We are alive, baby. Chan, how you been?
Great. It's a great life I'm living. No complaints, actually, whatsoever at this moment in time.
Wow, excellent.
That's actually
a good place to be in.
Zero complaints right now. And I love to complain. Like, it's actually one of my hobbies and pastimes.
Okay.
My therapist / nutritionist. Her training is in nutrition, but I do make her do therapy. Lucky her.
Wow, yeah, lucky her.
But she told me we were exploring hobbies, okay, for me. Because, I mean, this podcast is a hobby, but it's also like a job.
Your nutritionist was discussing your potential hobbies
yes,
for you.
Yes, we make goals.
Okay.
One of the goals that I made for myself was to just make a list of hobbies, that things that bring me joy. Like, not something that feels like a huge commitment, or like I don't have to like, you know, learn how to like, you know, use a pottery wheel, but just like something that brings me joy. And what did come to mind on this list, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Shit talking and complaining.
That's what like, you told your therapist gives you joy.
No. I almost wrote that down in my journal as a thing that brings me true joy that doesn't feel like work. It just feels like something I can easily do. It just feels natural to me. And that is commiserating and complaining.
And the great American pastime, living in denial, that prompted you to not write it in your journal.
Right. And then I was like, well, I can't put that down on paper. Of course not.
Absolutely. So, that will remain within the confines of your own mind.
Exactly. So that's when I wrote pickleball.
You don't even play pickleball.
I've played it once and it was a delightful time. And I'm literally in the process of ordering a paddle.
So you're going to go play pickleball in San Francisco?
Yes. I get to expense a paddle.
This is, no offense, but seriously lame.
Great.
Pickleball is truly the sport for geriatrics.
And I'm good at it. That's the best part.
I mean, is that really something you want to brag about?
That's it like is. Saying. And I'm also not saying I'm great at it. I'm saying I'm proficient. Like, I can get around the court.
I don't know. It just seems like I'm good at bingo.
Don't knock the pickle till you try it. That's all I got to say.
Okay. It just seems like you're a little young. Like, you're not even in your late 20s. You're in your mid 20s. You're like, yeah, I want to go to the sports that require zero exertion. So I'm going to do pickleball in the morning.
I was sore 4 days, which maybe has more to do with me than with the sport, but
the humiliation continues. Or
don't dare try and hobby shame me right now. Do you want me to share with the listeners what your hobbies are?
It seems like your next sport is going to be like water aquatics. Or some type of water muscle
aerobics,
building.
Water aerobics.
It's
easier on my joints and knees.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to hobby shame you because I don't believe in that because my life is so good. No complaints.
None of my hobbies are shameful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Returning stuff?
Oh my gosh. That whole thing is so overblown at this point.
Oh, I'm sure the UPS guy feels a different way.
I feel like we have taken that little anecdote where I did confess to some excessive returns during a few times in my life. And just now suddenly it's like an overarching character flaw.
What's another one of your hobbies?
My hobbies include scrolling on my phone on my couch, scrolling on my phone on the toilet, scrolling on my phone at stoplights.
Honestly, you pee so much you could consider peeing as one of your hobbies.
It's true, I could.
You guys, Lauren pees literally more than anyone you've ever met before. Anyone with a UTI, with bladder issues. Like, Lauren pees all the time. And every time she has to go pee, it's like she's had to pee for an entire day when really it's just been 45 minutes. The amount of times I've gotten on to record with her and I've heard the sounds of her tinkle are astounding.
Chandler, this is too much information. I don't know if I do have an issue, but I think I actually do. It's a combination of drinking way too much water and then also having – it's like a little bit I think it's
– You explained it to me one time. You said, I just don't like the feeling of any urge to tinkle, to pee.
Any urge whatsoever.
She has to act on it.
Especially if I'm watching a show or doing something like truly enjoyable. If I'm just going about my day, if I'm going about my day, I can deal with a little urge. But if I'm eating, oh my gosh, eating or watching a show, I don't want to be distracted by that urge whatsoever.
You're just a slave to your urges.
I really am. I really am. And so honestly, if you're a doctor and you're listening to this program, who am I kidding? No doctors listen to
Pop. Now who's the geriatric? You just called this a program. If you're a doctor and you're listening to this program,
if you're a urologist and you're on the line, please give us a call.
Please fax in. I'd love to hear from you.
I have Oscar catastrophic health insurance, so I can't actually pay you anything, but I would love for some sort of like armchair diagnosis.
Right.
Thank
Maybe
you.
We could get Dr. Phil in and he could give some sort of pseudoscience.
If you also urinate more than 20 times a day, DM me because I want to know that I'm not alone in this world.
Maybe you have to go on the Dr. Phil show about your compulsion to urinate. I think it's an attention thing also.
It's not an attention thing.
I think it is.
How dare you? How dare you?
It's fully an attention thing.
Dr. Phil would be like, are you ready to stop peeing and get your life back?
He's like, you walk, we have a Dr. Wayne right here. You walk through those doors, your laugh will never be the same again.
Are you ready to get the sound of the flush out of your mind? My wife Robin had this exact problem when she was pregnant. P-R-E-G-N-A-N-T. I don't see a baby in your stomach. So there's no reason you should be peeing every 30 minutes during the night. I actually don't urinate every 30 minutes. I do get up once or twice, though.
Okay, that is and this is why I think you need to get it checked out, because sometimes that means diabetes.
Diabetes. If I have diabetes, Chandler, because I do drink so much water during the day, this conversation is so boring. I can't believe we're going to put it out there. Like,
I think we just diagnosed you
entertaining podcast
with diabetes, which is a pretty breakthrough for this program.
Honestly, every time I go to get my blood work done, like once a year, I always assume like, okay, they're going to tell me I have diabetes this time because I drink so much water and I urinate all the time. But every time they're like, nope, you don't have diabetes. So, and then I leave the office and I go pee again for the 100th time that day.
Oh, don't go on a road trip with Lauren. I've made that mistake far too many times.
It's a once an hour type of deal. And then
it's
if
like
I've
you just, have an issue.
Dad goes once an hour, but he's also like 60, so...
How dare you out our father as someone who has to go to the bathroom that often?
I don't know. I may have a problem. I may just be a thirsty bitch.
We all know that. So
I'll let the medical professionals provide a proper diagnosis or any urologist on the line.
On the line.
All right. Chan, can I tell you how I made $250 today?
What? Yes. Yeah. Do you take a lot of surveys or something?
No. So I talked to our mother on the phone.
Oh my gosh.
And she said, we were talking about something and something kind of came back to the election. And I said, did you listen to Biden's speech? And she said, like, basically, why would I listen to his speech? He's not even going to be like president. And she was like, no one's ever claimed president before it's actually been called. Okay. So then I said,
she said she doesn't believe it's been called.
She doesn't believe. She's like, Lauren, he's not going to be president.
Yeah.
She was so serious.
Yeah, that's how she sounded to me.
I was like, how are you doing? How are you holding up? And she's like, I'm fine. Like, Lauren, there's no way. And then she said, do you want to bet on it? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
And take so that she bet. Said $100. And I said $250. And I said $250 that come January 20th, Joseph Biden will be sworn in
right.
as president of the United States. Or, and if so, you have to pay me $250. If Donald Trump is sworn in, I have to pay you $250. And right. she was like, no problem. Done.
Oh my gosh. What are you going to spend your money on?
I actually have already spent it, so I have one credit card that's not due till then, and so I already bought like a really cute dress. So
how amazing! That sounds
took me
like
30 seconds.
Sounds about right. No, when I talked to mom, I talked to her yesterday about it, and she said, "Yeah, I think you know it's all been I'm happy for you, and I just hope that when the votes are counted, that you know you guys will understand when you know the truth comes out and Donald Trump becomes president again." Like, it was just so condescending. She's like, I hope it's as peaceful when the truth comes out.
I hope you take it as well as I am now.
That was exactly what she said, actually. Yeah.
I mean, it is truly astonishing.
Yeah.
I just hope, for the sake of our democracy, that there isn't a bunch of civil unrest and that we can firmly have faith in our democracy once this is all over.
I hope so, too. My prayer. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer, in the words of Josh Groban. Okay.
So how did you spend your weekend? What did you do?
I went to Palm Springs with some friends, and it was 90 degrees all last week. And when we got there, it was 86 degrees. And then we got there on a Friday afternoon. Yeah, stunning. I bought a really cute red one piece, like a Baywatch one piece, mm-hmm. for the experience. And then I had my cute Biden hat, and I was so ready for a hot Palm Springs thirst trap.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, Jan, turned out that Palm Springs, they had a fluke weekend of weather, and it was 66 degrees, hailing. It was basically hailing. It was so windy. And all my friends and I, we just basically huddled inside this like condo we rented.
So you got to wear like a robe over your thirst trap outfit.
I was in Morgan Stewart sweatpants and a sweatshirt the entire weekend. And that actually brought its own comforts. Right. So it was enjoyable.
Yeah, whatever. There are worse things.
It wasn't the Palm Springs weekend we had hoped for and dreamed about. That's for sure.
I mean, that's the saddest story I've ever heard.
I mean, we had fun. It just wasn't what we expected. But it was fun to all be together when we found out about the new prez.
Wait, did you get a refund because it just wasn't what you expected?
No, I did not. How dare you? You know what? You give me a hard time for refunds. You're the one who returned a tarp to Walmart. And when they asked you why you were returning it, you had the audacity, the nerve to say, it just wasn't what I expected about a tarp. About a tarp.
You guys.
Literally nothing could be more like meet your expectations than a
tarp.
That's
a bulletproof answer. And I encourage everyone to use it against corporate America.
It just wasn't what I expected.
Sorry about it.
Oh my gosh. How was your weekend?
My weekend was absolutely lovely. Like I said, I'm in a very good state of mind right now. That makes me sound like I'm on the fritz usually. I'm not. But I really don't have any complaints. I went on a date. I went to a park. I did a little bit of shopping. I fully basked in the celebratory feeling of San Francisco, and I don't know, it just felt like the sun was really shining, and I got to bask in the light and power of a new democracy.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Or a democracy about to be in tatters. We shall see.
Exactly. And I'm sure I will take it just as well when, you know, the vote is recounted and Trump wins again.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just keep basking.
At least we'll have had these few weeks of glory.
Right.
Okay, you know who did not have a good weekend, Chandler, or a good week last week?
Don't tell me.
The newly in process of getting a divorce, Miss Erica Girardi.
The newly disillusioned. Not Erica disillusioned. Jane. Disillusioned.
Disillusioned.
Just made that up.
Disillusioned from one Thomas Girardi, chief counsel in the Aaron Brockovich case, mm-hmm. frequenter of the diner she was a waitress at 21 years ago.
Yeah.
At which point
you get yourself a 21-year marriage and then we can talk. How do you feel?
What's your take on this, Chan?
The news broke on election day, okay, which was either a genius PR move or complete happenstance. I'm going to trust but verify that it was totally, totally planned to try and bury it.
Definitely a calculated.
Yeah.
Definitely calculated right. PR move.
I felt a pang of sadness. Mm-hmm. For the two of them, because I do feel like she truly did love him at one point. Mm-hmm. And I felt their love was to some degree real.
Okay.
But then that lasted for about 10 seconds. And then I realized how fudging old he is.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, I get it. Disillusion that. Disillusion it.
Let's not forget that we did a poll on our Instagram and a solid 30% of our listeners said he was hot. Or he when given he the choice between the fire emoji and not hot, he got the fire emoji.
Yeah.
So that makes me lose faith in our listeners and humanity in general.
That just means that 30% of our listeners have seen Aaron Brockovich.
Or 30% of our listeners would love Beverly Hills Wealth and are ready to subjugate any other desires. when the news first broke, my distinctive thought was, of course, she has her own career. She's fully self-sufficient at this point, financially independent, can support herself in a nice lifestyle. And she's staring down the barrel of an almost 90-year-old husband at this point.
Totally. A 90-year-old husband who's in some legal trouble himself.
Exactly. And she's hot. Erica Jane is stunning. And she could go on to have a whole, like, other life. Like, right. She could marry someone and be married for another 30 years mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. So I think that she has so much life ahead of her. And I don't mean to get too dark with this whole thing, but he frankly does not. And she probably...
Lauren's going to call this one.
Yeah. Fox News and CNN are calling the election, and I'm calling Tom Girardi's life expectancy. It's not a lot of time.
It's not looking great, y'all.
No.
And Pennsylvania can't even save this guy.
I think what? She's 50 or approaching 50?
I think so.
She has another at least decade of really looking good with all
yep.
with everything she has going on. Mm-hmm. She really could live her best life. And I think it was obviously a transactional marriage. And those are the terms. This is yeah. how these things are set up. Chan, do you know much about his lawsuits?
No, I actually don't. I just know that there was like some auditing or something. And I know that like the glam squad had to stop getting flown first class.
Okay, so beyond just her maybe wanting to be with someone younger
yeah.
and move on to the next chapter of her life, it turns out that these lawsuits are a lot bigger mm-hmm. than just her glam squad going to coach. He was sued for $15 million, okay, because he took out a $15 million loan and allegedly
to what?
To finance his lifestyle. Mm. And he took it out as a legal loan that would theoretically finance his firm, but really went toward his lifestyle. And he hasn't allegedly made any payments since 2015.
Oh, wow.
So I think that she's also seeing the writing is on the wall that the perks are going to dry up. And she yep. probably doesn't want to be implicated in whatever's going to happen next.
No.
So I think that is also like a big motivation. And
totally.
He is also like very much rumored to have other female companions.
Yes. Yes. I have heard about this. I have seen this.
I'm going to go ahead and assume these are not actual companions. They're just like wealthy.
So funny. The term companion. It's like, it's because he's older that they're like his companions. Like you just picture someone who like helps him walk up like ramps.
Totally. I know. How funny is that? Like, once someone gets truly geriatric, like, they no longer have, like, oh, they have a new fling or a new interest. It's like, they have a new person who walks next to them and holds their hand when they get wobbly.
Oh, is this your cute new companion? Oh, cute.
I mean, you just have to assume. You have to assume they're not still getting it on at that age.
I mean, I'd like to think so, but I think modern medicine would tell us otherwise. People get it on all the time in rest homes.
I'm out for the count past 80. I'm done.
Does Kagan know this?
I'm retired.
Is he going into your marriage
from
with clear
the body
with wide eyes and clear eyes or whatever?
Of course not. Of course not. And I won't tell him either.
Good.
Until we get to that late age.
Serves him right.
Closed for business. I can't even fathom being in that headspace.
You'll be no one's companion then, I suppose.
No, I won't. I will absolutely not.
Moving on to a more pleasant image, Erica has also been rumored to have companions of her own.
This I have no doubt of.
Yeah.
Her songs are so sexual, and she's always struck me as someone who's very sexual on stage, but maybe somewhat asexual in her actual life.
Yeah, like it definitely seems more of an act.
Yeah, but I guess she does have her own flings, her own companions.
Is there any contender that's floated to the top? I feel like we just are getting a lot of rumors about random people from Dancing with the Stars that I frankly do not care about. I literally couldn't name one person who's on Dancing.
I haven't read any specific people, so I don't know anything about that. Chandler, speaking of D-list reality stars, / not even reality stars, just friends of reality stars, did you see the Larsa Pippen drama?
Yes, it broke today.
Yes, it did. So Larsa went on a podcast called Hollywood Raw.
Should we give some context to who Larsa is adjacent to the Kardashians?
I love how I just assume that everyone knows who Larsa Pippen
is. I feel like I thought the same way, but I also get her and Steph's whatever confused. Like Steph.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get the two of them confused.
Steph Shep has such a distinctive look to me. And then she was Kim's assistant, whereas Larsa Pippen, She was married to a famous basketball player.
Right.
I obviously have no idea what his name is. I just know he was like a famous sportsman.
Right. Might as well be on Dancing with the Stars for all we care.
Exactly. Famous athlete. Sportsman.
Famous sportsman.
Anyway, who gives a shit about that? Who cares about that?
Nobody.
No one. And that's how she met Kim. So she met Kim when her husband was really like
right,
more famous than Kim.
Yeah.
And anyway, so she's been friends with Kim for forever. But Kim unfollowed her earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. And so there's been all these rumors swirling. Why did they unfollow each other? Why is she no longer in the inner circle of the Kardashians?
Right. Was she invited on the Lifetime trip of a lifetime just to feel normal again? Private island trip?
No. Definitely not. Nope. She definitely was not. She's not been in any poolside thirst traps. She has been virtually absent from the Kardashian scene.
Okay.
And a lot of people speculated that she was hooking up with Tristan Thompson potentially or done something really shady. And so no one's really known what's been going on though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she went on Hollywood Raw and she dropped the following bombshell. She said that Kanye West has brainwashed the Kardashians against her. And Kanye West basically tried to convince them that she was untrustworthy and not a good friend to have around. Mm-hmm. And she said that they're all much more paranoid about their friends ever since Jordan Woods.
I'm team Kanye in this. Like, good.
Good? They were a serious, real friend.
I don't know. I feel like I don't think it's good to discard people either. But I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And I read that she did actually have a relationship with Tristan before Chloe even knew him, which is fine, which is fair.
Well, she introduced him to Chloe as her date.
I don't know. I just feel like where there's smoke, there's fire. And I don't know if she is trustworthy. But
there's no smoke here. There's literally no smoke.
I just don't know why Kanye would brainwash everyone against her.
What she said is that he would call her all the time at 4 a.m., and we know Kanye is super erratic. And she said he would that she basically blocked him because he was so over the top calling her all the time. And she
that
said
feels like
that
a situation where you
enraged
just
her.
Talk to enraged Kim. That you just be like, him. Hey, Kim, Kanye literally won't stop calling me and he's trying to talk to me about Donald Trump. And I just don't want to do that at 4 a.m. Could you maybe rein it in? That's just if you're that close to the family, why wouldn't you talk to Kim about that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Also, I heard that she was selling stories about them.
I think that every time there's any sort of person that there's only any celebrity adjacent person that is somewhat of a defector or that a celebrity wants to get rid of, they just always make up that they're selling stories.
I don't know. I don't trust her. I'm just going to be honest.
See, I'm Team Larsa here.
Team Larsa.
Yes, for sure.
I don't have any evidence to not trust her.
Did you listen to the podcast?
No, did you?
I did. I listened to her whole talk about it, and she was very nice. She basically said Kanye had his beef with her because she stopped taking his calls, and she just basically said, hey, I don't blame Kim for distancing herself. She said that she has to make her family be a priority, and she has to make happiness and peace within her household a priority.
Interesting.
And she was super chill about it. So it made me have respect for her, and she seemed like a really nice, down-to-earth person. And I don't know. I think I am – we all know that I am absolutely swayable by positive PR, as was learned when I read Finding Freedom and became a Meghan Markle apologist. So now I guess I am adding Larsa Pippen as a client.
I just feel like this is a very convenient way to have your friendship end.
Like, that you were providing emotional support at 4 a.m.?
Yeah. You're just like, I just couldn't, I don't know, I'm skeptical that Kanye would call her all the time. I'm skeptical. I'm not buying it, Larsa.
Okay. Listen to the podcast. Listen to the primary evidence in the case. And then let me know.
I'm not really into primary evidence.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Wait, excellent. Lauren. Wait, can we talk actually a little ago about Kim and Kanye posting a lot of pictures together? Do you want to amend any of your theories? Do you still feel like they're preparing for a divorce?
Definitely. I think in 2021, we'll see Kim and Kanye get divorced. And I think that right now, this is the denial phase.
Okay.
This is like process.
Yeah. This is like the last go at it.
He's so incredibly erratic and crazy.
I know.
I just don't think that, obviously, I use the word crazy and I shouldn't because he struggles with clear mental health issues, But I just don't buy that this is the man she's going to spend the rest of her life with.
I mean, yeah, he's also the father for four kids.
I need to talk to you about a stunning experience I had. I got a massage yesterday and I took an early bird gummy an hour before my massage. 30 minutes into my massage, I'm starting to nod off. I never nap. I never fall asleep during massages. I was so relaxed and I was getting concerned. I'm like, why am I falling asleep? And then I remembered it was the early bird.
Like, oh, yeah.
I can't even describe to you guys how good an early bird gummy plus massage is. It already makes you feel so like warm and melty and gooey. And then to be getting a massage, it's a peak experience.
No, that sounds peak. I need to try that immediately. I cannot say enough good things about early bird. It is something I never want to run out of. Mm-hmm. I love knowing that if I need to get a good night's sleep, I've got it. And if I just want to kind of take the edge off while I watch a show or, you know, just want to scroll on Reels, it's there for me.
You guys, the great thing about Early Bird gummies is that they are a recreational hemp product and contain 2.5 milligrams of natural THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD in each gummy.
So everyone go to earlybirdcbd.com and use the code popapologist20 for 20% off.
earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off.
Lauren, I got this text from my friend last night and she said, yo, what's the protein powder you guys peddle on your pod? Is it actually good?
Okay, what did you say?
I then inundated her with a bunch of messages explaining how good it was, really trying to show her that it's not something we simply peddle. It's actually something we truly believe in. So
it's not something we peddle. It's like a passion.
Let's just say that there were two gray text messages followed up by eight blue text messages.
Read them all verbatim.
I said, it's the only one I drink. ... I've literally been drinking it since college. Clean, simple eats. The vanilla and the chocolate, it's called brownie batter chocolate, are musts. They have a lot of other flavors too if you're more adventurous. They also have travel packs if you want to try something out before buying a full bag. Then I sent her the links, not even affiliate links. I just was like, no, if you're even considering buying a protein powder, I've got it for you. I've got it squared away. I've got it locked in. Do not look anywhere else.
It is so, so good. This is what we're saying within the privacy of our text message threads and yes, publicly on this podcast. Guys, go to cleansimpleeats.com, use code popapologist for 10% off your order. cleansimpleeats.com, code popapologist.
Did you watch The Hologram?
I saw a clip of it. Yeah, it's insane.
I personally feel like if someone gave me a hologram of my dead parent, there is something weird about that to me.
I mean, doesn't he also say that Kanye is like the smartest man alive, like as part of his speech?
But it's like a joke. It's like, you can tell it's like very much like a self-aware, funny joke. Like, oh, I'm okay, your amazing, amazing husband, you know? So I didn't think that part was bad.
Okay.
There is just, I don't know, like a hologram of your dead parent. There's something kind of,
but honestly though, it is like a weird gesture that feels like too crazy, but that is just his style, and I don't know that's necessarily like him being unhinged. I feel like that's just like Kanye style.
No, I definitely think it's like, I definitely think it was with the best of intentions.
The fact that he was on the mother effing ballot shows that he's unhinged.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't think that I'm not sure how I would react to that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'd love it either in any way.
I think for me, it's, and this is maybe getting a little too deep, but you think about someone you love, like a deep love, a real loved one, mm-hmm. and your memories of them are, this is so crazy, but like your memories of them are the most sacred thing. And like the idea that you would suddenly have this like fake new memory and like there would be like this, I don't know. I just, it kind of bugged me. Like, don't put words in the mouth of
the dead.
Like, don't like, there's something weird about that.
Yeah, it's either totally feels wrong and like insensitive and awful, or it like is really powerful and meaningful.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're saying I'm not supposed to get you a hologram for your birthday?
Thankfully, knock on wood, there's no one in our lives who has passed who is.
I'm going to do it for some of your ex-boyfriends. Not actually dead, just figuratively dead. I have a random question for you. If you could run into one ex-boyfriend from your past, who would it be?
If I could run into one?
Yeah. If you, and maybe the motive is that you just want them to see how good your life is now, who would it be?
Honestly, I don't want to run into any of my ex-boyfriends.
Really?
Yeah, I have.
She's not that proud of her life, folks.
No, it's not that. Like,
I'm just kidding.
I truly have nothing to prove.
Oh, you're so secure.
Yeah. Heaven forbid. Yeah, I don't. Oh,
that's rich.
Like,
oh, you guys, once again, Lauren proves that she's in a loving, meaningful relationship.
what's funny? It's so true, Chandler, though. I used to for sure fantasize about running into an ex. I would always be like, oh my gosh, my fantasy running into an ex. You've had this fantasy too, right?
All the time. Okay. I always think I'm going to run into exes at the Salt Lake City airport.
Oh, okay. 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 So my fantasy is always like I'm in line at Starbucks and my ex-boyfriend is in front of me, or I'm sorry, or like I'm waiting for my coffee, something. And my ex-boyfriend walks in or whatever. And then he says hello to me. And then we're like conversing. I look stunning, by the way. I'm like peak physical form. I'm like,
what you typically wear to Starbucks, not stunning.
Not stunning whatsoever. So how I'm like dressed to the nines, looking incredible, have all these clothes on I can't afford. Like I'm literally living a different life. But okay, then this is the clincher though. Then out comes my fiance from the bathroom.
Ew, he's using a Starbucks bathroom? Like shut syringes.
Shut up. Enters my fiance who has just been busy using the restroom or something. And
he's so busy. He's working all the time. He's using the restroom all the time. He's so busy. He's so successful.
Anyway, he walks back, and this was before we started dating Kagan, but this was always my fantasy, and it was like Hugh Jackman, or just really attractive, broad, just like imposing man.
Big
and
forearms, he's always, watch man.
He's always in a long pea coat.
Like, this Starbucks bathroom is getting grosser and grosser by the minute.
We're about to leave, and he's going to go, I'm going to drop him off at court in like New York City or something.
Ew, it's not our dad.
No, it's not our dad. It's like very much like a Richard Gere in the 90s type vibe.
He's going to trot up some like courthouse steps in his long coat.
Exactly. But no, it's been a long time since I've indulged in those fantasies.
Wait, what happens when so your fiance emerges out and then does he like,
oh, when he's know, just
say, he hey, says, baby, or something?
Oh, yeah. He just sidles up next to me and he smiles warmly at my ex-boyfriend and says, oh, who's this? And I say, oh, this is an old friend.
Someone I barely knew.
And I say, this is my fiance. And we walk out glamorously together into the sun, into our lives. And that was always my fantasy. I've indulged in that so many times. And yeah, thank you for actually reminding me of ex-boyfriend fantasies because I haven't thought about it in so long.
I think that's a gorgeous fantasy to have.
Right? Thank you.
I mean, it's just so sad that when you go to Starbucks and often when you, me, and Courtney go to Starbucks, we all look like gremlins.
Like, where did they crawl out of? Like, that's the question.
Orcs who have risen from the Earth's crust.
It's true.
Honestly, it's actually so funny how all of us, like, try and wear as, like, little clothing as possible. Like, we all sleep in a variation of shorts and a t-shirt. And then we all, like, whenever we're staying with Courtney, we'll go to Starbucks every morning. And then none of us want to wear shoes because we're all, I don't know, lazy as hell.
This is fundamentally inaccurate.
It's not. No, and then we're all wearing blankets. And then I intentionally don't wear pants because I don't have to go in and pick up the mobile order.
Courtney and
I'm not wearing
and I
pants.
Always wear pants. You are the one that wears shorts that honestly double as underwear. That's how short they are. Okay. And you always do that and you always go barefoot. And Courtney and I always have to go in because you are like literally would get arrested if you went in and get the coffee.
Let's just say I really hope I don't run into any exes at Starbucks. I prefer to see them at the Salt Lake City airport.
Yeah, what's your fantasy?
That's my fantasy.
What's your fantasy?
Oh.
Like, how does that interaction go? What are you wearing?
So, my fantasy is that they see me before I see them, obviously, and I am just cruising down, like, the walkway, and then the room opens up, and people can just see you, you know, and it's like you've just come off of a runway, if you will, a model runway.
Absolutely.
And in my fantasy, my ex-boyfriend sees me, and I'm dressed smart, like, business casual.
Okay.
Business casual with some edge. So I might be wearing a smartwatch, but I've got a leather jacket on.
Okay.
So they can tell that I've entered the tech world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can see that you're successful, that you're independent, that you've completely moved on.
Exactly. And then
you maybe have an assistant.
I pause my AirPods momentarily as we make eye contact. and I slowly register who they are because my life has just moved a million miles past them.
Onset. You have early onset dementia. Okay, great.
And with my carpal tunnel hands, I pause my AirPods. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and I smile and wave. And we begin talking and we maybe have 5 minutes where I just get to give them the highlights of my life. Oh, I did this and this. Now I live here and blah, blah, blah. And I'm probably going to end up here. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm late for my flight. And I've got early boarding because, you know, I'm rich.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Don't you always imagine yourself in that situation? And you're just like so like suddenly you have the regalness and utter diplomacy yes. of like a royal. Like you're like, oh, how are you? How have you been?
And I genuinely ask about their new girlfriend. And I'm like, how is she? I'm so thrilled for you.
I'm just so like you reach out, you touch their arm and say, I'm just so happy you found happiness.
Right. And I'm like, if you're ever in San Francisco, I would love to have you over.
if you're ever in the financial district, we would love to have you up at the penthouse. Thank you.
If you ever find yourself in the FIDI.
Okay, so did you ever have the fantasy of seeing an ex and getting back together?
No, because I've gotten back together with an ex and it's not as sweet as it sounds.
No, it's not as sweet as it sounds. It's not, definitely not.
That's funny. Speaking of exes, if I can go on a tangent, if I can tell a little story about a certain ex of mine.
Please.
Back when I was a sophomore in college. I was seeing a guy who lived in Salt Lake. I lived in Provo. You know, you and I both import men. And
that's true.
So, but this time I went to him to Salt Lake because there were just like better restaurants and more things to do. Mm-hmm. So I drove to Salt Lake to see him for our date and we decided to go get tapas, and which sounded like a lovely way to spend an evening and, you know, food I wasn't going to pay for. Yeah. Actually, I do think I split that meal and I'm pretty sure like it drained my bank account.
And caused some tension.
I probably had to go make a transfer from my savings to checking in the bathroom before the check got there.
Okay.
But anyways, we ate dinner, was great. And this is our third date. And so, you know, new, but like also like we're comfortable enough to where like, you know, there's going to be some action. I'm probably going to make out afterwards. So we finish dinner, we go back to his place and we start kissing, whatever. And all of a sudden, my stomach gets a little
where
grumbly.
Where are you from? Kissing?
We start kissing.
Okay.
I was on a date with a cowboy, and he said to me at the flame broiler, he said, "We're kissing tonight."
He just let it out there that it was going to happen?
He made some joke, and I was like, oh, we'll see about that. And then he goes, "We're kissing tonight."
Oh, okay.
Anyway, wow. So get back to me kissing that gnat. And my stomach starts getting a little rumbly tumbly. Okay. Ugh. And I'm like, okay, this is not a problem. Like I was probably, you know, didn't eat a whole lot and I was probably just had gum, you know, like not the best mixture. So I'm like, I'm just going to use the restroom really quick. And his restroom is right off of his living room. Like literally the door to the restroom yeah. is literally off the living room. Like there's no hallway. There's no nothing.
Okay.
So I'm like, turn on the fan, just... Uh-huh. And I kid you not, within the first minute of beginning that process, I knew something was terribly wrong. To the point where I don't know if this has ever happened to you or any of our listeners. I hope not. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy or any of my ex-boyfriends for that matter. I knew that I had to throw up. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that I had to relieve myself from my nether regions, if you will. I had to poop and I had to throw up.
I've never had that happen.
Yeah, I haven't either.
At the exact same time.
At the exact same time. So then...
What did you get in the... Like, I what had did to you make, do?
Yeah. This is our third date. I've probably now been in there... At the moment that this dawns on me, I've been in the bathroom for maybe 5 minutes.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It dawns on me that I need to make this critical decision. Am I going to sit on the toilet and throw up into the trash can? Or am I going to sit on the floor and throw up into the toilet?
And what would happen on the floor?
You know what would happen on the floor.
Okay. So what did you do?
And I regret this every single day, but I decided to go with the latter.
No. No. No, you did not. Chandler.
I don't know.
tell me that's a lie.
It's honestly so shameful that I don't talk about it very often because it was like a truly horrifying moment.
My stomach just like turned. So then what did you do? What happened?
Then I proceeded to have bouts and rounds.
You had evacuations.
I had several evacuations.
From each end.
And literally each end. And it was like they say Montezuma's Revenge or whatever you get when you like have bad water. It was that. It was like both muscles, if you will.
Okay,
like,
no, we're done. We're done with this portion.
Both Let's things happened at the same time.
Okay, so then it's literally all over his bathroom floor.
And then literally it was all over his bathroom floor.
So what
white
did you
tile,
do?
White grout.
Chandler, this is the worst story I've ever heard.
We're now at minute probably 20 of me being in the bathroom. And
my eyes are like the size of saucers right
now. I then decide it's so bad because I've realized that there's no turning back. But like when you're so sick like that, you don't give a single F. You're just like, I have to like get this, like I have to just move through this. The only way out is through. And so then I'm just like, whatever, I degaff. I then turn on the shower. To just, I don't know, cover the sound, try and wash away my shame. And I then proceeded to spend the next 45 minutes washing myself and his bathroom. And then I emerged.
Did you even wash his bathroom?
Luckily, all of his cleaning supplies were like underneath his bathroom sink.
So there were like paper towels?
Mm-hmm. Paper towels, the whole nine yards, thank goodness, truly a tender mercy. And then I emerged from the bathroom and I said, I'm not feeling so great.
He's like asleep.
Hour later, he did knock on the door a few times, and like we ended up dating for a year, but like, we were not that close at that point. And I was just
did
like,
you guys really date for a year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, really? Maybe a little shy of a year. Yeah.
Okay.
So. I mean, also our it was probably like shy of a year of dating, and then two more months of him trying to get me back.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, duh. It was in that moment that night that he knew he loved me. He knew he wanted to, you know.
Absolutely.
Start a family with me.
He got a taste of something he liked.
Oh, you're absolutely vile. The best part is, though, I just literally emerged and then bathroom was clean, probably cleaner than it was before. And I said, I'm not feeling so great. I'm going to excuse myself for the night. And I drove home. I threw up twice on the way home. Like pulled over to the side of the road, threw up. Luckily, it wasn't both things at the same time. And I didn't tell him about it until we'd been dating for 6 months.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I was like, did you ever wonder what had happened that night?
I can't believe you ever told him about it.
I know. It's shocking.
That is truly vulnerable and wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Truly. So anyways, I actually fantasize most about running into this ex because I just want to show how far I've come from that night.
Just prove your lack of incontinence over a 5-minute chat.
Anyways, I don't know if I've told you that.
I don't think I've ever heard that story, which is shocking that I haven't.
I know.
I once was making out with a guy in his bedroom, and I needed to use the restroom. And
as a lady does.
Yes, I needed to use the restroom. And he had a restroom inside his bedroom.
Hmm.
And it was like this very modern home, right?
Okay.
Where the shower was like just water coming from the ceiling. The whole bathroom layout was very open.
Yeah. Love that. Love the echo there.
He was like, anyway, I don't mean to flex, but he was a surgeon of sorts. And so anyway, he like lived in like San Diego or Cardiff by the sea. Anyway, in this
so weird.
Yes. It was. And so I just remember I went to use the restroom and then I kind of just realized that like this is like an open air restroom situation.
Right.
And like there's
a mausoleum.
I'm basically peeing next to him, like in his bedroom. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I remember like suddenly realizing that he could hear me mm-hmm. very distinctly and that mm-hmm. I was very near him. And I just hear his voice audibly go, a little shy.
Stop. And,
yeah.
You're kidding.
He goes, I'm a doctor. It's just pee. Like, it was so funny.
That is so cringy.
I know. And then I had to be like, no, I'm not immature.
Wait. I'm not shy, Mr. Doctor Man.
Exactly. This won't be a problem now that you ask. Just wait and listen.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was a guy who, like low key, I went on a date with him and I told him specifically when and we were done with the date, we went and walked by the sea, the ocean, as you will. And then I specifically said, he said, why don't you come over? And I said, I'll come over, but I don't want to hook up with you. Like, I'm happy to come over so we can get out of the cold and just chat more. But I was like, I do not want to hook up with you.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I totally respect that. I would just love to chat more and learn more about you. We literally got to his house, and I would say within 5 minutes, he was aggressively coming on to me, like in the most intensive ways.
It's so annoying.
I know. Anyway, some guys just think you're joking. Like, they think that it's a game you're playing.
Yeah. She's like, I'm just being coy, Mr. Doctor Man.
Exactly. Anyway, let's proceed.
Let's move on.
Into that. Can we talk about The Undoing on HBO?
Oh, I cannot shut up about it. I've literally told all of my roommates to sign up for HBO.
This show is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I don't know how long HBO was sitting on this for, like, during quarantine, but, like, it is everything we've been needing and missing.
It is exceptional. I put a call out to our listeners. Should I watch the show? It's hard for me to commit to a pilot of any episode of any series.
Right, right.
And people came out full force. You have to watch it. You guys could not have been more right. There's so much to say.
Where do we even begin? Nicole Kidman, for one. Do you like Nicole Kidman? Are you a Nicole Kidman fan?
You know, I am a huge Nicole Kidman fan. I love watching her.
She's a fascinating creature.
Her body and face are just fascinating to watch.
The intensity of her eyes and mouth and nose. Like,
yeah.
All of her energy is concentrated in, like, the center of her face.
Face is so exquisite. Mm-hmm. And whatever voodoo magic she is doing to preserve it so serenely and pristinely, it looks completely unnatural, but also really beautiful.
It's the complete love and magic of Keith Urban. That's the voodoo magic, baby.
The voodoo magic is definitely probably a facelift, Botox, really slight lip filler, and really good skincare.
It looks amazing. And staying out of the sun.
But second to those items is definitely
the tender embrace.
The love potion that is Keith Urban at your bedside.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the show.
Okay, yeah. Let's go back to the show.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
So we'll just maybe talk about what we love about it. I think it has all of the drama and intensity of A Big Little Lies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And a lot of wealth. Which is just fun to watch.
It's just fun, like Upper East Side high living.
I'm sorry, but this is why I don't like watching Gina on Real Housewives of Orange County. I don't want to see a bathroom that looks like something I can afford.
Exactly.
That's not fun. I want to see a bathroom that's bigger than my entire home.
Yeah.
That is fun to watch. I want to see a stunning coastal house.
I want to see New York. How people would decorate their brownstone.
Exactly.
That's all.
I will say, she's constantly in these, like, very strange looking coats.
She's in a lot of coats.
Extremely distinctive.
They're very distinctive. She looks like she's Cruella De Vil.
Yeah, she looks like, literally, if Mrs. Weasley lived on the Upper East Side, on the Upper East Side. Like, her coats are so Mrs. Weasley. It's like Mrs. Weasley was hot, tall, and thin, and lived on the Upper East Side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is Nicole Kidman's vibe in the show. Big, frizzy, beautiful red hair, velvet coats of different shades of green and red.
Yeah.
Like Hogwarts vibes.
Yeah. I think her fashion choices are interesting in the show. The coats are a lot. Like, it's maybe not the way I would dress, but she has this dress that she wears at the charity event for her son's school in the first episode, not giving anything away. And I was messaging with Athalia, one of our dear listeners, and sorry if I'm saying your name wrong, but she just said, let me know when you see the dress because it is the dress of the show. And it's everything.
It's the dress of the show because it shows some exquisite side boob.
But I also just think, like, the pattern and what is that, chiffon, or I don't know, the way it's ribbed or whatever is... it's exquisite.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Nicole Kidman is truly ethereal and otherworldly. I don't want to give anything away, but I want to say something in cloaked terms, okay?
Okay.
So if Chandler At any point, did this strike you as a documentary of what would happen if you lived in Chicago and you and Dr. Langer was helping your son? Because I was really seeing you in this show.
Lauren, how dare you tarnish that fantasy for me, okay? And that's all I'll say because I don't want to give anything away, but leave Dr. Langer out of this.
Yeah, just saying that there's a level of obsession that could border on psychosis on your part for Dr. Langer.
How many Dr. Langer posts do I send you on a weekly basis?
I get literally a DM where Chandler sends me anything about Dr. Langer she finds on Instagram. She just sends it to me.
Don't even say anything. I just send it to you.
No words necessary. I don't even need to follow him because I'll just get all of his new posts sent to me via Chandler.
It's like a reflex. Like, I'm not even thinking as I'm doing it. I'm just like, oh gosh, I just see it. And then I instinctively have to send it to you.
I mean, you sent me one the other day and it was like, it didn't even look that cute in it. But you might as well have just been like drooling from San Francisco.
Dr. Langer can do no wrong. He looks cute at every possible moment.
I also don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say another thing in cloak terms.
Okay.
But there was a moment where I turned to Kagan and I said, just so you know, men do this to women all the time. I say they're married for 20 years.
Pretty cloaked.
And then all of a sudden,
yep,
the FBI's at their door.
Yep. Oh, pretty cloaked. Keep it cloaked.
And he was like, what are you talking about? And then I was like, go put on headphones and get in the other room, son.
No Xbox tonight. Men do this to women all the time. Get off your Xbox.
I was like, no, I was trying to protect him. I was like, you need to watch the show completely and you're going to ruin it by being in the room with me. So
yeah.
Get in the other room, put on some headphones and don't ever do what he's doing to her.
I love the idea of you being just mad at Kagan after watching an episode of The Undoing.
Oh, I punish him for other men's sins constantly.
Good. Frankly, I feel like that's good.
It's how I keep the fear alive, baby. Uh-huh.
Chef's kiss to that.
I also did text him, or I could call him after he went to lunch today, and then he was gone for like 2 hours.
Excuse me?
Yeah, so I called him, and I said,
where the are you?
Yeah, I said, I'm actually quite worried about you because on screen there is a missing spouse and you just went to get a Board and Brew sandwich at, 2 p.m. and it's now 4:30. And he claims that he took a call in the parking lot with one of his lenders.
Absolutely not. That's a bold-faced lie.
No, it's totally a lie. And I said, I know you're lying to me.
I hope you said don't come home until you're ready to tell the truth.
I did, actually. I did. And he hasn't been home since. No, that's kind of how I operate. It's guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
It's, I know you're lying to me. It's where the F have you been?
It's you're just as bad as all the other men. You're not Dr. Langer. So don't even try to be.
Men do this to women all the time. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah.
Well, Kagan, I hope you come to terms with things and make it right.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Okay, Chan, can I tell you something incredible that happened to me this week?
Yes.
I finally bit the bullet and I bought a Patagonia puffer jacket, which I had never had before. It always just seemed like...
Not even from your climbing days?
No, I got like a Mont Bell jacket back then.
Yeah, I have it. I'm looking at it right now. It's in my closet.
I never swung for the Patagonia.
Yeah.
But I just thought, you know what? I just need something that will provide a very streamlined, nice look for when I want to be casual. Like, I want to be able to go to dinner in Lululemons and a Patagonia puffer and be so deeply comfortable.
Yeah.
But seem put together. And I will tell you, I have worn it virtually every day.
Really?
Not the whole day, but for portions of the day, nothing has come in more handy. And I want to say that this purchase has been a great thing for me in my life. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's killer. Do you remember their days of stealing from the lost and found at BYU?
Wait, I never did that. Did you?
You do not remember this story? Is this with you? I feel like this was with you.
This was with me.
Okay, yes, do you remember
wait,
what happened?
I did do this.
We did do this. I think we should tell the story and come clean.
I think you taught
me. This is what happened.
Oh my gosh.
You had
oh
to go to the lost and found to find something you had truly lost. And I was driving you for some reason. So I dropped you off. And you went down to the lost and found at our college and said, oh, I can't find this thing, whatever. But while you were there, you had a wandering eye. And you saw you saw some things that had been indeed found. So you came back out to the car and you said, Chandler, there is a Patagonia overcoat jacket literally just sitting in the front of this of the lost and found.
No, we didn't really do this. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't. Mm-hmm. No, we did not. No.
I, Lauren, it has been unearthed like my memory of that diarrhea date. So then you said you should go get it. And I
don't believe I was this morally bankrupt.
I mean, you maybe you didn't say like you should go get it right now, but you were like, you should just get it.
No, I don't believe this. I refuse to believe it.
Okay, refuse to believe it all you want. But this did happen, and I will not be gaslit on my own podcast. But so then I promptly double parked the car and walked down the steps to the lost and found.
You're like, say no more.
And I was like, yeah, honestly, I am morally bankrupt. And I was like, all right, sounds good. So I mosey on down, and I then proceed to put on a Academy Award winning performance looking for my Patagonia jacket. And I'm like, no, it's black. And I make a special effort to not look at like the racks of clothing, and I'm like, it's black, it's Patagonia, it's just like an overcoat
really
or whatever. It's really expensive looking. And then they're like, of course the sweet BYU lost and found students are like, oh yeah, let's let me look. Like, let's look at where all the black jackets are. They begin looking, and then I go, oh my gosh, that's it. And it's an incredible performance. Honestly, I should have won award after award. And I walked out of there.
Out of school.
I sauntered out of there with this Patagonia jacket, the very first of my life. Never got one before.
Never got one after.
Never got one after. And I want you to know that karma is a bitch. And I lost that jacket probably 6 months after that. And I haven't gotten a Patagonia to this day because I still feel too guilty about stealing from the lost and found.
There has to be an asterisk to the story. Like, was it in the section that was like, we've had this for 90 days.
Everything must go.
To donate it.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I did actually then steal a computer charger from the lost and found.
Like, I feel
later
like
on. But I feel like those are just like, whatever. Easy breezy. I pay a lot in tuition. Or dad did.
Like you went and said, oh, I'm missing my Apple MacBook Pro computer charger.
Yes.
And
yes.
They're like, here's one of 10,000.
Like, yeah. And I was like, okay, great. That's the one.
That's it.
I'm not proud of this, but it is a part of my truth.
I am actually ashamed that we did that. Because no, that is actually horrible.
It's awful. I should be fired from my job. I should be stripped of my citizenship, and I should be thrown out. I should be thrown out of this country. I don't deserve to live here.
Should be. You should have to go to Puerto Rico with me, although that's technically the United States.
I know. So. I'm like, sounds pretty great. I know.
Okay. I don't even know that we can leave this in because it's. I feel like it's pretty egregious.
It is egregious, but I just feel like there's freedom to telling the truth.
What
we're finding freedom right now, Lauren. This is what it feels like to find freedom.
So broke back in the day.
I was selling my stuff online because
we were like selling plasma. Like
I was a hostess at a restaurant. My parents had cut me off, and
we never really sold plasma. But yeah,
no, I never sold plasma. Of course not. I wasn't willing to risk scars on my arms.
Exactly.
I'd rather go hungry than have scars on my arms.
I walked into the clinic, and then when I filled out the form and it said you could have permanent scars, I was like, peace, Brenda.
Absolutely not. I don't need to get my nails done that bad.
Oh my god.
Which is what I would have then. I would have turned around that $40 to then just get my nails done.
Totally.
Wouldn't have been for like food. Because like we could always go to Courtney's and eat. I do feel a lot of shame about the lost and found incident. But there was a part of me that was like, you know what? I paid 10% of my income until I was about 18. So I'm going to go ahead and take this jacket.
And rob a jacket.
And rob someone else.
One of the students here.
I'm going to go ahead and rob somebody.
So basically, I gave you the idea to do it. I emboldened you to do this crime.
And as you know, I was very young and impressionable at the time.
And you were like, hell yeah.
And I was
like, let's go.
I honestly, yeah, it was. College was like a fugue state for me. Like I did stuff I really shouldn't have done. I didn't care. I didn't give a single flip.
This for me, I just want to file under young and dumb. And this is our version of a DUI in college.
Right.
We didn't get a DUI, but I guess we did steal from the lost and found. I do literally remember, though, going down there. And you know what it was? Okay, I'm actually remembering. I feel like there were a bunch of Patagonia, just black puffers,
yes,
down there.
Yes, there were.
Like it wasn't like there was one nice jacket in this like sea of crap. There was just all this nice stuff, just like a ton of it. And I mm-hmm. think I was just like, hey, Chan, you should just go get one of them.
Yeah, that's like literally exactly what you said to me. And I was like, okay. BYU students, if you're listening, I do not condone this, but I also want you to know that it's okay to be young and dumb sometimes.
This podcast could possibly be admitted into formal evidence into evidence at trial, and we could be convicted someday. Just an FYI.
Take me to jail, Kevin J. Worthen. Take me away. You're actually kind of hot, so I would actually like that.
Wow. Another confession no one needed to hear. Okay, Chan, just to close this out, we do have a sponsor this week. So I just want to read this ad really quick. So this is a new fake sponsor, you guys, fake ad. And how apropos. Do you need go ahead.
I was just going to say, this person will now never sponsor us because of our illicit activity. So it's perfect to be a fake ad.
Yeah, exactly. Do you need a downlined puffy jacket to brave the chill of a 63-degree LA morning? Do your Whole Foods grocery bags not make you look rich enough as you're walking into your home? Well, Chan, I'm not sure if you've heard of this company, but it's called Patagonia.
What?
And they have a solution. Yeah, I want to tell you all about it. Patagonia is a clothing company for people who want to seem both outdoorsy and wealthy while remaining neither. Super convenient, super efficient. And that should ring a bell for you specifically. So for hundreds of dollars an item, you too can wear clothing so nondescript and bland that if it weren't for the little purple and green label with white text, it would seem most appropriate to be sold next to horizontally laid out books and lazy boy sofas at Costco. Patagonia is simply an amazing company. With their signature insignia, they can transform anything in the $10 bin at Old Navy into apparel fit for bullying your nannies in.
Incredible.
Incredible.
A superior product.
The best part, Chan, if you one day get a call from a friend that says, hey, we want to go on an expedition of sorts, an outdoor adventure, and we're going to pick you up. You have no chance to change. You'll be ready to go.
Amazing, Lauren.
I know. Doesn't this company sound incredible?
It sounds like I just love the idea that someone's tackling the, I want to be look outdoorsy. I want to look rich. I'm neither of the two. That
sporty, athletic.
That is a pain point for people in our world. And I just love that like a company is addressing that head on.
Exactly.
It's like, do you have to worry about Biden's tax plan if you're wearing a Patagonia jacket? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. People will never know, but they'll think maybe you do.
They'll think you're thinking of moving out of California.
Yeah. Yep. And true that.
True that. Okay. Chan, it's been a pleasure to speak with you this evening.
Such a pleasure. I want to make one call out to the listeners. If you're new to us, leave us a review.
Yes, I will make this confession. I sit down in front of the computer every morning, or I pull up on my phone while I'm sipping my coffee. And I
mean, she reclines in front of the computer every morning.
Yes, on my sectional. And I look to see if we potentially have a new review. We haven't had a new one in well over 2 weeks. So if you want to leave us a review, it'll make my morning, literally the morning after you post it.
Please make our morning, folks.
We beg of you. All right. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you
truly
later.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at popapologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.
Do you ever worry about running out of interesting things to say to friends when you actually get to see them? Then we've got the perfect podcast for you. I'm Eve Yohalam, and each week on Book Dreams, my co-host Julie Sternberg and I use books to explore fascinating questions, like what happened when a Harvard professor staked her reputation on an alleged Gospel of Jesus' wife that turned out to be fake? And how did debut author Tom Lin save the American Western by blowing it to bits? Are pigeons rats with wings or wonder birds? And what's the who, what, when, where, how, and especially why of books bound in human skin? Recent and upcoming Book Dreams highlights include conversations with Booker Prize-winning author Marlon James, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Catherine Schultz, and Merlin scholar Dr. Laura Campbell. You can listen to Book Dreams wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists.
Owners of The Therapy Group.
And hosts of the Shrink Chicks podcast.
Every week, we bring you a new episode where we dive into therapeutic topics like inner child work, dating anxiety, family dynamics, relationships, and burnout.
Making them more relatable and understandable, leaving the psychobabble behind.
We address the things you've been dying to ask your therapist but don't know how.
And work to help you stop shooting all over yourself with the expectations society can put on us.
Tune in every Monday to Shrink Chicks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Be sure to follow along and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Prepare to learn all about you, because in order to grow yourself, you got to know yourself.